Helping Hand, feature on HPR1 stations, and it appears on Fridays and then online at hawaiipublicradio.org. Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to people with disabilities and people and animals that are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we are learning about the Epilepsy Foundation of Hawaii and their I Aloha Someone Living with Epilepsy Conference, which is a free education event for people with epilepsy, their families, caregivers, community members. And this is, I believe, the 7th annual one of these, too, that they've got coming up. It is Saturday, November 2nd, tomorrow, 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., Aloha Tower Marketplace, and absolutely free with current updates and issues relating to epilepsy, seizure first aid, informational talks on surgical interventions, the science of the cannabinoid system, sudden unexpected death in epilepsy. We'll hear a lot more about it, too, as we welcome back the executive director of the Epilepsy Foundation of Hawaii, Naomi Manuel. Naomi, great to see you. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks, Dave. Nice to see you as well.
And first, for epilepsy is one of these things that I don't think everybody necessarily understands what this is. They associate it with seizures, but it can happen. There's a variety of different kinds of seizures that people can have. Explain to folks when epilepsy first shows up and the different kind of forms it can take.
Well, first off, epilepsy is a neurological condition, so it's a disorder of the brain. People are diagnosed with epilepsy when they have two or more unprovoked seizures within their lifetime. There are many types of seizures. A person with epilepsy can have more than one type of seizure as well. The major types of seizures are called generalized seizure, when your whole brain is seizing, or there's focal seizures. And these seizures are located in just one area of the brain. They're also called partial seizures. So there's multiple types of seizures, and they present themselves in many different ways.
And some folks, on a more severe aspect of having epilepsy, because you're there at the foundation, you would know, what's like someone who has a really bad rate of having seizures, how often would they happen?
Well, epilepsy is unique to each individual. We can't say one is, you know, much more severe than the other on how it just
or maybe as an example of one, like if there's somebody that you know of, it could it be if you have 10 of them in a day? I mean, what's a number that you would
it really does depend. A person is considered to have epilepsy if they have two or more seizures within their lifetime. So a person can experience just a few seizures over their lifetime, a few a month, a few a week, a few a day, and then there's the ones who have hundreds of seizures a day. So the range does exist from several a day, a week, a month, to those that seriously have over 100 seizures a day.
And there are patients in Hawaii who are dealing with that level of epilepsy.
Yes, every day. Patients and caregivers, support staff.
Over 100 seizures.
Yes.
Yeah. Debilitating ones, too, that basically just knock them out of commission entirely.
Yes.
That's a, and it's just something that you're only really diagnosed with this after you've had one, then.
Yes.
So there's no way to really say you have epilepsy until you've experienced the seizure.
Until you've experienced the seizure if you had two or more, and unprovoked seizures. So one in 10 will experience a seizure in their lifetime, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to have epilepsy.
So unprovoked means that in some cases, I guess the opposite thing of what you're saying is certain kinds of stresses or conditions of the body could provoke a seizure.
Right. So for instance, a fever can provoke a seizure. Someone withdrawing from drugs or alcohol can provoke a seizure. You hit your head just one time and it can provoke a seizure.
We're taking a substance that has a risk of it. Because just as an example, on the side of the container of melatonin, which is a sleep aid that a lot of people take, among the warnings it says are that it could cause seizures. So that would be not be unprovoked.
Right.
I'm trying to understand the the difference. Okay. So if it's unprovoked, and then a doctor would have to determine whether something was unprovoked too, because then they would do sort of what we are, but on a more serious rundown of what you did or didn't do that could have provoked it or didn't.
Right, and they'd be able to determine that through an EEG or MRI.
That's how they would do that.
Correct.
plus asking you stuff about what you had taken or done two years ago. Yep. And then for you guys, in terms of your role locally, what kind of treatment, support, what is there that you can provide folks? Run through some of the services that you offer that you think are either most used or most valuable.
A lot of what we do is education. So we go out into the community and we provide epilepsy information education. We provide seizure first aid to groups, to organizations, to schools, to children as well. We have multiple different types of presentations and trainings provided to the community around epilepsy awareness, information, and seizure first aid. We provide referral and resources to those living with epilepsy. I mentioned that each person who has epilepsy, it's very unique, their situation, correct? So we just try to be a referral and a resource to those in whatever their needs are.
Like to get them for specialists and stuff? So that
referring to a specialist, getting them information on the different specialists, wraparound support.
Are there any costs to get those services from you guys?
From us, no. No, we're a nonprofit organization.
And how do you guys generate your funds?
We have, we hold fundraising events, but a lot of the funds that we get are personal donations. We have one fund run a year. We have the Freedom Run. It's on July 4th each year. You know, we're celebrating freedom, freedom from epilepsy, freedom from seizures. So it's each year, July 4th at Kailua High School in the morning. It's a 5K, a 10K, and a 1 mile walk, and a great space for those celebrating seizure freedom to come together and just spend the morning, and then you go off on the rest of your holiday.
And you are able to finance gatherings like this community conference through those donations and that fundraising.
And sponsorships as well. We have community sponsorships for those types of events like this I Aloha, Someone Living with Epilepsy, which will be held tomorrow. If you haven't registered, please, you still can come down to Aloha Tower Marketplace, 8:30 to 12:30 with the topics that they've mentioned earlier.
Well, let's talk about this event. So folks who, it's free, you can come to this, and it's not just for people who are living with epilepsy or their loved ones, but are there also medical professionals who attend this sort of thing, not just to speak, but to learn?
Yeah, we have a number of different medical professionals from HMSA, from Kaiser. In addition to the topics being presented, we do have information tables that will be there for the community from, you know, the newest medications available for seizures. We have HMSA information on the ketogenic diet, representation from Shriners, representation from Queens, HMSA, I think I mentioned earlier. So there's a number of additional resources that will be available at this conference that is for the community. It is for people living with epilepsy. It is for all those within the community impacted by seizures.
And you have a couple of doctors, it looks like, Dr. Leon Liam.
Yeah, he's a surgeon. He's a neurosurgeon. So he'll be talking about some surgical interventions in refractory epilepsy. So that's epilepsy that's very difficult to treat.
And that they end up doing some kind of invasive surgery.
Yes.
Is that brain surgery?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And there's also, I see, and in introducing you, I briefly mentioned it, sometimes people may have seen in the, just in media, I guess, coverage of marijuana, the science of using it for different things, possibly for health benefits. One of those things that has been derived, an ingredient that comes from cannabis, the use of some of those ingredients to help people with seizures has been something of a, that seems to be one of the more bright spots in the medical treatment that's come from that. And you're going to have somebody who's talking about relating to that.
Yes, we're going to have Dr. Arash Safai. He's going to be talking about the science of the cannabinoid system and how CBD works in the treatment of seizures, because CBD doesn't work for all seizure types, but he's just going to talk about the correlation between the two.
So there is definite evidence that it does something positive to, what does it do? Stop the seizures? Have them less often? What is the relationship with the...
It happens less often, but only for certain seizure types. It doesn't work for all seizures.
Right. It's not across the board.
It's not across the board. It's only for certain ones.
So that doctor will be talking about that there. Mm-hmm. And are these local doctors, Naomi, or do they come in just for this event?
Dr. Leon Lim, he's a local doctor here with Hawaii Neurosurgery Group. Dr. Safai is coming in from San Diego.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and then you also mentioned it, there's seizure first aid, which is to teach people an invaluable things they can do right in the moment that they find somebody mm-hmm. who's having a seizure, correct?
Yep. Like I said, 1 in 26 will develop epilepsy at some point in their lifetime, but 1 in 10 will experience some type of seizure. So seizures are very common. So out in the community, there's a high probability that a person will come in contact with someone having a seizure. So it's important to know what to do if a person is having a seizure. And that's called seizure first aid. There are many types of seizures. Most seizures end in a few minutes. But some general steps to consider when someone is having a seizure is to stay with the person until the seizure ends or he or she is fully aware or awake and aware of what's happening at the time. Comfort the person and speak calmly. Make sure that the area around them is safe and clear of any sharp items or anything harmful. And also you want to make sure that you time the seizure. If a seizure runs longer than 5 minutes, that's when you want to call 911.
So you don't call 911 until it's hit 5 minutes?
Well, for those that have epilepsy and those types of seizures, 5 minutes is the given time.
And I guess what you're also saying without saying it is people who have a loved one or they themselves have epilepsy, they've been through this to some degree, so they don't mm-hmm. they don't jump the gun when they start to have a seizure. Am I interpreting it right?
Yes.
They kind of, you
yes.
know, like the loved one will wait it out to see if this is really the one I need to call
mm-hmm.
somebody on.
Right.
Interestingly, and I don't think I told you this since I last saw you, I know I ran into you at that play not long after you were on.
Mm-hmm.
It was right after that. I don't think I told you about my friend Larry who died.
No, you didn't.
So I had this friend, Larry Dembinski, who was a teacher and lived in Mililani. And I've known him a long time, since 2002, I think, when I first moved here. And anyway, in... I think it was December 8th, 9th, 10th, something like that last year. Larry was at school teaching out there in that, I think he taught in the Wahiawa area is where his school was. And a student asked if they could get the key to the restroom. So I guess the restrooms are locked at this school. So mm-hmm. Larry went out to the restroom and was unlocking the restroom for the person. And his right hand, the hand that he used to unlock the door, it started to like curl up towards himself, they said. I'm trying to remember all the descriptions because I never got to talk to my friend once after this.
Mm.
And his hand sort of like curled up towards him and then he just dropped. And they got him to a hospital. He regained consciousness, was talking. Both his mother and father were with him. I believe his wife got there too. And then I guess he was in the hospital that's right there in Wahiawa, right near the school. And it looked like he was getting better. He was just sitting in bed talking to his wife. And parents had sort of, I believe, gone to like go get his car and kind of like deal with some of the stuff that had been left as is right when he went to get a seizure, like his possessions, you know, his bag from school, whatever, as if everything would be all right. And his last thing that I remember he said to his wife was, Kathy, who's also a friend, my hand's starting to do that again. Go get the nurse. I think it's about to happen again. His hand started to curl in towards himself. I mean, I didn't see it. I mean, I've been described what it looked like. And she went to go get somebody, and that was it. And then he had a full-blown, massive second seizure. It's a guy who never had seizures his whole life. He's about 50. He's a little heavy set. Drank a lot. And from the second seizure, I think he had a heart attack, and he never he was put on life support for several days. He was on life support. I was told about this after he was on life support. Hey, your friend Larry is in, you know, real trouble. And so I went and spent 3 nights up there, you know, standing next to him. So I just figured, you know what, I got to tell Naomi because, you know, I've really been touched by it now. Finally, I don't know, you know, they were seizures. And 3-4 days of life support, and they said his brain was just too damaged, and they took him off life support, Larry passed, and you know, maybe within 10 days of me being told about it, 7 days, something like that.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
I never was told what happened.
Yeah, stuff I mean, like there's a number of reasons that, you know, could have provoked that seizure, right, that we don't know about.
Right.
But seizures are very common, like we said earlier, and it can happen to anyone at any age.
Right.
There's no distinction on race, on color.
Right.
Or culture.
Yeah, he was a big, heavy set white dude from Indiana, middle of the country, been here a long time.
Right.
Had a huge impact on all these kids to see these tough kids. He worked with tough kids that mm-hmm. needed extra, and be at his service and seeing them crying. I've been meaning to tell you because it did, you know, it's serious stuff what you talk about, and I always have taken it really seriously.
Yeah, I mean, one of our topics is going to be at the conference tomorrow morning. It's going to be on SUDEP, which is sudden unexpected death in epilepsy, and to talk about it because death in epilepsy is very rare. I will say that, but it does happen, mm-hmm. and it does happen to people at any age, and it needs to be talked about.
Meaning they have a seizure and they die as right then and there, or
it's death. Anything, it's death related to epilepsy or a seizure in some way. You know, for your friend, he had 2 seizures. For others, it may be a result of multiple seizures over their lifetime. It may impact their body in other ways. But SUDEP, there's a whole SUDEP Institute at the National Epilepsy Foundation, and they're doing research on how to eradicate SUDEP, eradicate death in epilepsy. And that's what Sally Schaefer will be discussing tomorrow when she comes and she talks about SUDEP. And she'll share her story as well. Sally Schaefer lost her daughter very young, and she lost her to SUDEP. So she has a mission of talking about it and eradicating SUDEP.
And is SUDEP, how do you eradicate something like that? Is that just have medical training ready to respond to?
Mm-hmm. They're doing research on biomarkers, with those who have died from SUDEP or died from seizures. So there's a number of different research going on the correlation of seizures and death and what's happening within the brain and the body.
Wow, so they can try to understand it mm-hmm. more and stop it, I guess.
Exactly. And one more thing I did want to say about the SUDEP Institute is that the SUDEP Institute does provide bereavement support for those who have lost a loved one to seizures. So that's one of their biggest programs of the SUDEP Institute is bereavement support.
Maybe I'll have to send that to my friend, actually.
Mm-hmm. To his wife.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of ways that, and then there's a teen advocate who you're going to have there, Sila's story.
Yeah, Sila Kimura, she is our teen advocate. She took part in our Teen Speak Up and Public Policy Institute. That was held in Washington, D.C., and she was the Hawaii representative. Sila is a sophomore at Iolani School, and she has dedicated this year to increasing awareness throughout Hawaii of epilepsy and seizure first aid. She's done a number of things so far. So she's going to be speaking tomorrow about her story of living with epilepsy and actually her family story as well, and how she has found ways to live well with epilepsy. She's a student athlete and she's doing great things within her community and her school. And so she's going to be talking about that tomorrow.
And what are ways that people can help you with this? I mean, you've got this coming up tomorrow, so when it comes to, and obviously the planning for something like this, I know it takes a lot of effort and mm-hmm. pre-work. What can people do to help, whether it's to help you with finances that you need, because you said you guys are mostly donation run from private donations, or on as a volunteer? It must be daunting to put together all of these different people. What are different ways that you could be assisted, Naomi?
There's a number of ways. Of course, we always take donations. Donations are always accepted on our donation site, epilepsyhoa.org/donations. And as well as volunteers are always accepted or appreciated. We love our volunteers in whatever capacity that anyone can give. We are more than welcoming to have volunteers come, not just for the conference, but for our other events or any way that people want to give of their time and resources. We are willing, open, and appreciative of any type of giving that anyone can give.
And then for folks who are not on Oahu, are you guys, all your services are available on the other islands? Do you get around to other islands and do little presentations and stuff?
We do talk stories every other month, and they're primarily held on Oahu physically, but they're all videoed and saved on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they're streamed Facebook via Facebook Live,
right.
And then all of those videos are housed on our Facebook page in the videos section so that they can reach our...
as a resource.
As a resource, correct.
Well, here's how you can support the organization, and to learn more, too, it's epilepsyhawaii.org, and at that website, you can not only make a secure donation, but you can learn more about epilepsy, about their different ways that they're trying to support people locally in the community, and you can find more information about tomorrow's event, too, which is 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. in Honolulu. It is absolutely free, Aloha Tower Marketplace, and their annual conference, 7th annual conference of this kind that you guys are doing.
Yes.
You can send an email if you have a specific way of helping them or a question or concern or need help, efh@epilepsyhawaii.org. Let me give you the phone number too, 808-528-3058. And the event is for people with epilepsy, their families, caregivers, community members, medical professionals, the Epilepsy Foundation of Hawaii, their I Aloha Someone Living with Epilepsy Conference, which is taking place tomorrow with a number of special guests that we've heard about. You can find this segment, the full-length feature, the radio feature, all the contact information, and all of our previous Helping Hand guests at hawaiipublicradio.org. Anything we left out?
Yeah, I do want to say that the conference is jumpstarting Epilepsy Awareness Month, which is November. We are doing a number of activities throughout November to increase awareness. But anyone within your community, you can have awareness events within your community and just anything to increase epilepsy awareness, whether it's wearing purple, holding a lemonade stand, just talking about it. We need to continue to talk about seizures. We need to continue to talk about epilepsy and educate ourselves on seizure first aid.
With November being Epilepsy Awareness Month, there will be more information about that at your website too.
Yes.
November is Epilepsy Awareness Month. It is Naomi Manuel, Executive Director of the Epilepsy Foundation of Hawaii, and grateful to have you back on and to talk with you again. Hopefully this event can be really helpful for people in the community. Thanks for doing what you're doing and supporting people out there.
And thank you for doing what you do as well, Dave. Thanks for having me.